The daily news cycle is constantly churning out upsetting stories, and a steady diet of unsettling information can easily taint our perspective. Too many tragic stories can knock us off balance and cause us to worry. But today, on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll presents his final message in the comprehensive study through Revelation. It's a series called Unveiling the End. In this last study, we'll be reminded that those who understand God's plan for the last days can bask in the assurance that He's truly in control. We begin with prayer.
John's words are our words. Our Father, we anxiously anticipate your Son's breaking through the clouds and calling us by name to depart and to be with Him forever. It causes us to answer back, even so, come, come quickly, Lord Jesus. This is a weary old earth, weary of war and the rumors of such, weary of disease, weary of heartbreaking news, of pressure and demands and deadlines and dates and assignments and expectations and all that come with those things, which make us all the more anxious for relief and fresh new hope that will come with our being glorified, changed in a moment, as if even the flash of an eye, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and then we shall be caught up together with them to meet your Son in the air. Do come soon, Lord, deliver us. May we know the joy of being free at last. Until then, our Father, on this day we acknowledge the presence of men and women to be honored among us, those away from us still serving in uniform. We acknowledge their work, their good work, their faithful labors. Take care of them. Help us through the treachery of terrorism. Watch over our land. Give great vigilance to those who serve this country, those out of uniform, but nevertheless just as much involved in caring for the citizens of this country. Thank you, Father, in advance for what you're going to do in your own grace and in your own time. We pray that you will meet needs that have not been spoken today and bring encouragement to those who are low, even depressed. Now, our Father, it is a pleasure, it is a privilege for us to give to you for a change. Since you do that for us 24/7, it's a pleasure to do that at this time. Find our hearts generous and our motives pure, and our gifts given as if first giving ourselves. And we say again, our Father, we await your Son's coming with great joy. In the name of Jesus, pray. Everyone said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To complement this study, our team has developed some spiral-bound workbooks for our Searching the Scriptures Bible studies. To dig deeper into this study on Revelation, you can purchase the printed workbooks by going to insight.org/workbooks. And now, the message from Chuck titled, Come, Lord Jesus.
The Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, obviously, and the Bride, that's the body of Christ, the saints, those who are followers, believers in Jesus Christ. We, together with the Spirit, invite those who haven't yet come on in to come on in. In fact, John adds, let the one who hears say, come. What do you gain by staying outside the hope? How will you die if you die with no hope like we've described in this book? And let the one who is thirsty come. Come on. The one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. Come to this joyous, lifelong relationship with Christ. Following the invitation, there are words of warning. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, to what? The words. If anyone adds to the words, God will add to him the plagues written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words, he repeats, the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life. Whew. Now, I hardly need to remind any of you that we who are conservative in our theology are criticized for being slavishly literal. We are the people of the book. And every chance the culture of ours gets to take a shot at the slavishly conservative people, they will come at this matter of the Word of God. We stand, nevertheless, at this point. While we do not worship the words are to be preserved, guarded, accepted, most importantly, obeyed. These words form the standard of our faith and the basis of our practice. And so John, knowing he has life and death contained in this book, says, don't mess with the words. Don't add to them. Don't separate from them. So let me get very specific, lest all of you go home and throw away your paraphrases or other versions of your Bible. Let's be careful here, just for the sake of balance. This warning in verses 18 and 19 is directed to those who deliberately falsify and misrepresent Holy Scripture. Those who twist the truth to say what they want it to say for the purpose of deceiving, which every cult does. That's what is being addressed. That's who are being addressed here, not those who assist us in careful study of the text, offering reliable versions of the English Bible based on careful and accurate study of the original text. It's not even a criticism, in my opinion, of people who do careful work and write a paraphrase to give you the general idea. In some Christian circles, you are marked as liberal, if you even own a paraphrase. On the contrary, some paraphrases are very helpful. I just don't do serious study in a paraphrase. But it helps me understand the general tenor. Because the one writing the paraphrase is not trying to deceive me. He's trying to help me understand. Same with versions of the scripture. So while we want to be careful and appropriately literal about this, we're not wanting to be foolish and even stupid in the way we're applying it. Summarizing a very important matter, we're to uphold and love and believe in, guard, most importantly, obey the Word of God. We're not to twist it. We're not to add to it. We're not to take from it. Before I go any further, I will tell you we are facing hard times in our culture, in a culture that is busy reinterpreting marriage, reshaping and rethinking the whole matter of one's own convictions, so that we are now being pushed to the edge of, they call it tolerance, so that it's all inclusive, lest we offend. I'm telling you, hard times are coming. You will find yourself coming back to Revelation 22, 18, and 19, And you will find that if you commit yourself to the careful understanding and interpretation of the Word of God, you will be out of step with a culture that's lost its way. Now, enough on that. Here is this magnificent benediction. It would be a delightful study for you, by the way, to do a study of the benedictions in the Scriptures. There are a number of them. John testified of his convictions in verses 18 and 19, and now he refers to the testimony of another who has been the significant one. It has been the revelation of Jesus Christ, so we're not surprised he turns our attention to him when he says, "He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly." I love that. Isn't it great? It doesn't say, "I'm not sure. Been thinking about it. I want to give further thought to it." No, he says, "Yes, yes, I am coming imminently at any moment, in any hour, at any time of my choosing, I am coming." Five words in our English text, "Yes, I am coming quickly." Only three in the Greek. Three simple words, and yet they become the lasting and concluding promise of the Scriptures. He's coming at any moment. And strangely, how unusual it is to ever hear a pulpit address his coming, or even a Bible study get to the subject of his coming. It's his final promise. We're to lean over and listen closely. These are last words. Scoffers will continue to disregard and deny him. Doubters will question and argue over terms. Agnostics will wonder what all the excitement is about. Hedonists will certainly ignore words like this, hoping they'll go away. But God's own people find their fire fueled by, "I am coming at any moment," which prompts John to say, "Amen. I believe it. So be it. Let it be so." I think behind it might have been, "I'm sick of this island. I have to sleep one more night in this cave. You've got your own reasons. I've got mine. Come quickly, Lord. Come, yes. Come, Lord Jesus." And then on the heels of that burst of emotion, very fittingly, he returns to the marching order of our times and underscores that great word, grace. Isn't that wonderful? "Grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen." How do these words relate to us in our times? What's all the excitement about? Why is it we work up such a lather over five simple verses at the end of an ancient book? I think, first of all, they relate to the people who are apathetic and asleep, thinking life will just sort of run its course and it'll all turn out well in the end. This book says, "Wake up. Sit up. Pay attention. Look at the fine print. Listen." To those who are apathetic and asleep, the relevant message of the book is wake up. And then there are those who are anxious and fearful. And this book says, "Do not worry. I have everything under control." It's a good time for me to pause and just add an extra word for no extra charge to you who are given to worry. Will you relax? I don't mean go to sleep. I just mean stop spreading your worries. Many a Christian you meet up with, "How are you doing?" "Well, in light of our times, God help us. Oh man, how can I get away from this guy?" I think. under these circumstances. What are you doing under there? The circumstances are always miserable, of course. I mean, you see what happened last week? Yeah, that's last week. This book says, rest. Trust me. Trust me. There are 1,000 things that you could bring to bring fear and anxiety, and the book says, I got it all planned. Got it all worked out. I like asking real qualified, seasoned builders and architects on occasion as they're talking about plans and all. I say, can you see that? And I've never had one say, no, I don't have a clue what that. They say, oh, yeah, I can see it all. It's finished. I mean, you see that fireplace? Oh, yeah, man. It changes everything if you put it in the corner. I go, oh, really? Like, neither one is there, and I'm having to figure it out. He sees it all. That's our God. I see it all. It's all clear. It's under my control. Relax. Have lunch. Don't feel the need you have to beat on every door around you or buttonhole every person that looks like they're lost. Believe me, a lot of them are saved. They just look lost. Now, I say, am I not saying you shouldn't give to God? You know better than that. Don't go there. It's just this anxiety kind of Christianity that I'm loving Jesus to the end. You! Okay. Okay. Finally, this is a relevant word for those who are lonely and lost. And there's a lot of you out there. You're in a crowd, but you're lonely. And you look like you know where you're going, but you don't. This is a good word to you. This says, there's our word again, come. Come on. Come on board. Don't put this off. I'll not only take care of you in my grace now, but I tell you, I got a home for you. And I'll leave a light on for you. Years ago, my family and I, who enjoyed singing together as I was growing up, thanks to my mom's love for Handel's Messiah, found our way to the old First Methodist Church in Houston. Walter Jenkins led the Messiah, knew the score by heart, never turned a page. And we sang every Christmas season for several years at that old church. Charles Allen was the pastor of that church for a number of years down in Houston. He tells the story of little John Todd, born in 1800 in the autumn of the year up in Rutland, Vermont. Shortly after his birth, they moved to the little village of Killingsworth, Vermont. It was there, when John was only 6, that both of his parents died. All the children in the family had to be parceled out among relatives. And a kind-hearted, aging aunt who lived 10 miles away, which seemed forever to little John, agreed to take him in. I love this story. She said, I'll love him and I'll care for him and I'll give him a home. The boy lived there for some 15 years and finally left and went off to school to study for the ministry. Time passed gently as he began to succeed. He excelled in his work as a pastor, and while he was in middle life, his now aged aunt fell desperately ill. So she wrote him a letter, a pathetic letter full of fear and uncertainty. What will death be like, John? Will it mean the end of everything? I'm so afraid. Moved with compassion and swamped with memories of yesteryear, he sat down and wrote her this letter. My dear aunt, it is now 35 years since I, a little boy of 6, was left quite alone in the world. You sent me word that you would give me a home and be a kind mother to me. I've never forgotten the day when I made that long journey of 10 miles to your house in North Killingsworth. I can still recall my disappointment when, instead of coming for me yourself, you sent your servant, Caesar, to fetch me. I well remember my tears and my anxiety as perched high on your horse and clinging tightly to Caesar, I rode off to my new home. Night fell. Before we finished that journey, and as it grew dark, I became lonely and afraid. Do you think she'll go to bed before I get there? I asked Caesar anxiously. Oh, no. He said reassuringly, she'll sure stay up for you. When we get out of these here woods, you'll see her candle shining in the window. Presently, we did ride out into the clearing, and there, sure enough, was your candle. I remember you were waiting at the door. And I remember you putting your arms up and around me as you lifted me, a tired and bewildered little lad, down from the horse. You had a big fire burning in the fireplace, a hot supper waiting for me on the table. After supper, you took me to my little room. You heard me say my prayers, and you sat with me until I fell asleep. You probably realize, dear Auntie, why I'm recalling all of this to your memory. Someday soon, God will send for you to take you to a new home far away. Don't fear the summons, the strange journey, nor the dark messenger of death. God can be trusted to do as much for you as you were kind enough to do for me so many years ago. At the end of the road, you'll find love and a welcome waiting, and you'll be safe in God's arms. I shall watch you, and I shall pray for you until you're out of sight, and then wait for the day when I shall make that journey myself and find you waiting at the end of the road to greet me. May we stand together, please. Take the hand of the person standing next to you and pull up close. Amazing grace, how sweet is that sound that saved a wretch like me. We once were lost, now we're found. We were blind, now we see. We truly cannot imagine, our Father, what it will be like when we have been there 10,000 years, shining as the sun. We'll have no less days to sing your praise than when we first begun. And now to him who is able to guard you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forever. And all God's people said, Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You're listening to Insight for Living and the Bible teaching of pastor and author Chuck Swindoll. Today's program features the very last message in a comprehensive study through the entire book of Revelation. It's a series that started in late February. And while the study in Revelation concludes today, your learning doesn't need to stop here. We've prepared a variety of resources to help you dig deeper into Revelation on your own. For instance, all of Chuck's sermons for the Revelation series are recorded on CD. The collection is called Unveiling the End. By purchasing the full set, you can listen to the study at your own pace. Here's the number to call, 800-772-8888, or go online to insight.org/offer. You can also listen to Chuck's messages on the Insight for Living mobile app while following along with the interactive Bible studies prepared on your behalf. We call this resource our Searching the Scriptures Bible Study. And in this spiral-bound format, the workbooks lay flat on your desk, allowing you to jot down your personal notes and observations. There are three workbooks for the teaching series in Revelation called Unveiling the End. So while there's still time, take advantage of these engaging and informative spiral-bound Bible studies for Revelation. You can purchase the workbooks by calling us at 800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org/workbooks. From our founding 45 years ago in July of 1979, Insight for Living Ministries has been funded by the voluntary donations of friends like you. In fact, these daily visits wouldn't be possible without your support. And by giving a donation today, you're allowing others to engage with the Bible just as you did long ago. To send a donation in the mail, write to us at Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. Or you can call us at 800-772-8888 or give online at insight.org/donate. I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to join us when Chuck Swindoll begins our next study, this time on the life of Solomon. Tomorrow, on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Come Lord Jesus, was copyrighted in 2004, 2007, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.